103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan. One of 3.2 Dublin City FM. It's The Sod Show with Brian, Peter and David, brought to you in association with greensacks.ie. Compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out on the internet, greensacks.ie. Ideal for use with your brown bin. This week on The Sod Show, we have the one, the only Peter Donegan in interview with the one and only Jerry Daly. Right here on The Sod Show in a couple of minutes' time. We'll also be dropping in on David Corscadden with some tips for gardening in this climate. What climate? Climate happens over 30 years. We've just had a climate change over 30 days. We've gone from not being able to produce any fodder to not being able to grow anything because there's no ground water. There's no water in the soil. From sub 5 degrees soil temperatures to plus 29 and Hoth's gorse is on fire. It's just been unbelievable. Tune in later in the programme. David Corscadden will be joining us. But first, as promised, Peter Donegan holds the microphone and he's talking to Jerry Daly.
103.2 Dublin City FM and Ireland's best podcast for 2012. It is indeed The Sod Show, and you would not believe it if I told you, but the chosen one is in my company. Jerry Daly, how are you?
I'm not the chosen one.
Jerry, for those who don't know you outside of Ireland, in Ireland you are extremely famous in the gardening sense.
Well, I've been involved in gardening, journalism and media for a long time, both writing about gardening and broadcasting about gardening. So I suppose, yeah, over a period of time, a lot of people have come across the work I do.
I used to write for the Farmer's Journal approximately, what, maybe 10 years ago. I think when I had my stint there, you were writing for there. You also have the Irish Garden magazine.
Yeah, I do the Irish Garden magazine where I'm editor. I do a weekly column for the Farmer's Journal and also for the Sunday Independent.
How has gardening changed, Jerry, in the last, you know, let's say 30 years in Ireland? And you know, I've done some talks where I've noted before, you know, that we would have had the old log roll pandemic of way back when, and we moved straight through to what would have been cobblock and then to decking. And, you know, has it changed drastically in Ireland? Has it changed for the better in the last 30 years approximately?
Yeah, it's changed very considerably. There was a time when people either didn't have time to do any gardening or didn't have any money to do any gardening or else didn't have any interest because they regarded it almost as an alien activity. And that changed when we started doing TV programmes and much more people began to take an interest. And then as the economic situation improved, gardening took off in the 90s and the early 2000s and boomed to a very considerable degree with a lot of private gardens being landscaped, a lot of plants being bought and a lot of garden centres being extended. But of course, since then, the economy has turned down again and people are cutting their cloth to suit their measure, buying smaller plants and maybe propagating a bit more. The level of interest is there. There's always a very strong level of interest in gardening. It's just how people garden that changes, and that certainly has had its ups and is now having its downs.
In context, it's come up in conversation, and again, basing it on the trends, that we did go through a period of what some called the tiger and some called a boom. I was always of the opinion that the landscaper never really got to see that, maybe, or maybe it was just me, but is there a bit in between that where that dip, the aftermath of that, and what's coming out the far side now is that we're putting much more emphasis as families, as Irish people, on spending time in the great outdoors with our children, with our relations, with our friends, that we're spending more time in parks? Or is it a case of that, you know, again, maybe we had the very large avant-garde style designs and now we're kind of bringing it back down to, again, what's best for the children rather than what looks great as a postcard, you might say?
Yeah, well, to some extent, I think certainly in the early days, people did their own gardening, and then there was a period of time when it was quite fashionable among people that had money not to do gardening, but to get somebody to do their gardening for them, so they would discuss how much they were spending on their garden and so on. that has changed dramatically, and people are going back largely to doing their own gardening now. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because people are falling back on their own resources. They have a back garden, they have a house. They may not be able to travel as much as they did before, so they're using their resources closer to home. But at the same time, I think that it probably needs for a bit more expansion of that to happen. People are still very cautious, understandably so, given the economic situation. And it might take a little bit more time for people to invest a little bit more. They are holding back a little bit at the moment.
In context, chatting to some of the guys from Australia, they do the Garden Gurus television program, and they were saying they're Australia's only garden television show that got viewership figures of about 1 million. In Ireland, surprisingly, maybe we don't have a garden television show. We have, in short, one gardening magazine, which is your own, and we also have only one garden radio show full time, which is the Sod Show. Why is that, or is that just, you know, par for the course, or is it, well, that's the way it happens? Will it make a resurgence? Will it come back?
Well, there is the Super Garden Show on television, which is runs before the Bloom Festival. That's a reasonably significant series. It runs for about 6 weeks, I think. There aren't any how-to-do programs anymore. The fashion has moved towards reality TV. It doesn't matter what the subject is. It's basically a formula where people are put under pressure and where people are asked to achieve a target in a certain amount of time. And that is compelling viewing for a lot of people. A lot of people find that very interesting. No matter what the subject is, be it cookery or gardening or foreign holidays or whatever it is a compelling way of producing television, and it is in the ascendant at the moment. Now, whether it goes back to a more how-to-do, a more instructive, more educational style of programming remains to be seen. But in this present climate of media and the fragmentation of television, certainly the audiences haven't been generated by the how-to type program in the same way as they've been generated by the reality TV type program.
If I'm honest, I kind of miss the old days of the Barney Johnson, and I miss seeing you on the television. You were what I grew up with watching, and if I'm honest, you were the equivalent of the Mark Bolan and T-Rex. I mean, it was pure revelation as far as I was concerned. Is that the kind of thing we need back? But, you know, I look at the BBC programmes, and we see the Monty Dons, and we see the Titchmarshes, and sometimes those type of make and do garden programmes do come and go. But, you know, my own head says there is a need for the potting shed type, here's how you grow things.
Yeah, well, maybe there is, but it certainly is not getting the audiences that reality television type programmes get, and that would include the BBC programmes. The BBC is insulated from commercial reality because they get a licence fee, they don't have to sell any advertising, so they're in a more cushioned position than, say, RTE would be, or anybody broadcasting on this side of the Irish Sea. So that is obviously a big influencing factor on the kind of style programme that programme editors commission. But it might well be, I mean, the how-to kind of garden programming that we did years ago was popular in its time because it provided, it catered to a need that people had. At the time, people had a thirst for knowledge and basic garden information, and that's what we provided. We opened up the subject to people. We made it doable, made it possible for people, made it open for them to access something they hadn't done before. They would have regarded gardening as beyond their compass before, but we opened up that possibility to them by instructive, educational-type programmes. And it remains to be seen whether the demand for those type programmes reasserts itself or not, but that's for the future. Nobody knows.
Somewhere in between all of this, the Irish Garden Magazine is a pretty good success story. How long has it been on the go? And again, for those listening on podcast outside of Ireland.
Well, the Irish Garden Magazine is in its 22nd year, started in the middle of a recession. It is the best-selling garden magazine in Ireland, and that's up against 15 imported garden magazines from the UK. It sells comparable levels to any of the British magazines in their own market. So it's a strong seller. It has a good market niche. Obviously, we're only as good as our last issue, and we have to keep up the quality for people, but people do seem to appreciate it.
Do you remember the very first issue coming out, the ever first magazine?
Well, the first issue was in February, March, and it had... it had a nice article about air rides and so on. And we've done that again recently, so it comes full circle.
Has how you market the magazine changed? Has the what you're covering kind of changed? Or is it a case of, like you just noted, that from, you know, 22 years on, that there's a little bit of, oh, well, let's cover that again. But I mean, 22 years ago is a fair distance in between it.
Yeah, well, the thing about it is that technology has changed dramatically in printing and also in the production of magazines in terms of typesetting and picture layout and so on. That's very dramatic, and that has had a huge impact on the improvement of quality. When we started, not all magazines were even full colour. Now all magazines are not only full colour, but extremely good, high-quality colour. So that's been a huge change. The quality of the product we produce now is vastly better than it was 22 years ago.
I was talking to Andrew Wilson, who was one of the judges at the aforementioned Bloom in the Park, and I noted to Andrew that a lot of the books that I bought when I was in college would have had illustrations and very, very, very bad black and white photographs, to now where it is almost full colour. In context, you have added a website to the side, or I suppose it's given it a bit of an extra, a bit of a clink to the arsenal, you might say, of the Irish Garden magazine. How has that come along, or how does that all work?
Well, that's garden.ie. Which is a separate business from the Irish Garden magazine. Obviously, they're sister businesses and one supports the other. And I think that's the way media is going for the future. Not all media will disappear. Print won't disappear. But there will be a cross-breeding between the two, one supporting the other. And that does work very well. Magazines and websites support each other very well because both magazines and websites tend to be focused on a particular interest that people have. And in that way, a magazine is ephemeral. It only lasts for a month on the shelves, and then it's gone unless you haven't bought it. Whereas material can live on, and the same material can live on then on the website ad infinitum.
We touched on it briefly there beforehand, the change and the I suppose what my dad would have done was the blue, white, Alyssum Lobelia, maybe one Skimmia Japonica sitting in the right-hand corner, and two apple trees that never got pruned unless they were in the way of the washing line. There might have been a bit of rhubarb and the coal ashes and etc. got thrown on top. We now know that as composting. There are books on the subject and people know how to prune apple trees a little bit better. We then, as I said, moved to the log roll, to the cobble lock, to the decking, to the grow your own. Where do you see Irish gardening and Irish horticulture changing, Gerry, and what do you see the future is?
Well, I think there'll be a more natural style of gardening. I think that's already happening. Even at Bloom, there was quite a heavy emphasis. Also at Chelsea, I haven't been at Chelsea for quite a while, but there was, I believe, quite an interesting development towards naturalistic style planting. And I think that will happen. I think there will be some probably more artistic use of plants and more controlled use of plants and less of the Victorian collection of plants, because the emphasis until relatively recently has been just on the collection, the acquiring of a large number of disparate plants, whereas I think the attention in the future is going to move towards plant communities and sustainable plant communities, and sustainable gardening will become much more important in terms of resources, where paving is sourced, where timber products are sourced, the use of energy in the garden, the use of chemicals and fertilizers in the garden, and they can all be accommodated perfectly well with the general public's demand for easy gardening and gardening that isn't too time consuming and not too expensive either.
Gerry Daly, first of all, thank you so much, and it's a pleasure to meet you once again. The last time I saw you, we were both in tuxedos. I think I was picking up an award, and I assume you were too. That was at a Bord Bia gig. If people want to find out more, I know you have the Irish Garden website. The magazine is stocked nationwide. Is there a better place to get in touch?
No, that's about it.
Gerry Daly, thank you so much.
Thanks, Peter, and great to hear Gerry Daly on The Sod Show here on Dublin City FM 103.2. Yes, and in Dublin this weekend, the 20th and the 21st of July, the Rose Festival, St. Anne's Park, Raheny. Are you going? If you are going and you're a Sod Show listener, why not take your smartphone with you, install the free Audio Boo application, and record us a message. Tell us what you think about the show. Not our show, the festival in St. Anne's, the Rose Festival and the gardens. Tell us what you've experienced at the weekend. So if you do have a smartphone and you can install something like Audio Boo or a simple audio recorder, send us a message to The Sod Show. Yes, and you can send it to us on Twitter at Sod Show. You can send it on Facebook, The Sod Show. And you can get it at sodshow.com, where you can tune into all our programs from day one and from before day one when it was the Sodcast. 103.2 Dublin City FM. It's time for Song of the Week. Alison Sudol, better known as A Fine Frenzy, from the 2009 album Bird in a Bomb Cage. What I Wouldn't Do was the track. 103.2 Dublin City FM, The Sod Show, brought to you in association with greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Next, we turn to David Corscadden, who is, well, from time to time we have trouble getting through to David, so with a realignment of the satellite dish and a bit of radio tracking, we should be able to pull in David Corscadden. David, are you there, David?
Hey everyone, I hope you are all doing really well and you are all out enjoying the great sunshine that we have at the moment. I think it has definitely lasted a lot longer than anyone could imagine. We actually have a proper summer this year. It's not just the usual one day of summer. It's actually lasting quite a good amount of time. And I think it's set to last even longer. I think the last I heard, it's to last right up until next weekend, which is pretty good for us gardeners because it means we're actually all getting out and actually getting some work done and we don't have to run inside every time a shower comes. Now, I know Mr. Donegan out there is giving out about the wimp of a gardener that I am, that I run inside at the first sight of rain, but not going to lie, don't like the rain, don't like gardening in the rain, so I do, I run inside, it's an excuse to have a cup of tea. But one thing I will sorely have to admit to Mr. Donegan out there is that gardening in shorts, it makes sense. The past few weeks, I have been out in my garden in my shorts, so kind of makes sense that he is wearing them all the time when he's out in gardens, but I still think he's an utter fool in the fact that he still wears them in bleak winter, but I suppose each to their own. But I think, like 90% of gardeners out there, most of my time in the past couple of days has been, it's pretty much been like slave labour. I've been carting buckets and buckets of water all around the garden to try and boost up the plants that are suffering a bit from the lack of rain and water in the ground. And it has meant that getting pretty good exercise while I'm gardening, but it has been an awful lot of work trying to cart water from the tap up near the house right down the end of the garden to the vegetable patch, which seems to be drinking literally every ounce of water that I put on it. It seems to just disappear within a matter of seconds. So it's quite a lot of work, but I think in the end, the kind of pays off when you start picking your peas, or we picked our first cabbage there during the week and was still a bit young, but must say it tasted delicious, so it was quite worth all the work that has gone into it. But I think enough complaining about the amount of work that I had to do in the garden in the past few days. I thought, since we have one of the most iconic figures in Irish horticulture on the show this week, that I would talk about one of the most iconic gardens and one of the best places I find to get inspiration for my garden, and that would be the Botanic Gardens out in Glasnevin. And I was lucky enough to have some free time on my hands this week, so I actually got to go out to the garden. I think it was long overdue a visit, because it is, I think, springtime since I was last out there, so it is completely different now. The last time I went out there, there was brilliant displays of crocuses and daffodils underneath all the trees, but they have long since faded, and now the garden is literally just a riot of colour. I don't think even a riot describes it enough. It literally just, every corner you look in, there is massive splashes of colour, especially along the herbaceous border, which is near the palm house. It was literally just covered in every sort of colour imaginable. It was literally just like a rainbow laid out on the ground, and it's pretty impressive. But I noticed as I was walking around that the gardens there seem to be suffering with the great weather that we have at the moment, and the amount of people who were out watering all the plants there, and the amount of hoses that were twisting around footpaths and around trees to try and get every bit of water that the plants needed to them before it got too warm. Because I was clever enough to go to the gardens, it was first thing in the morning just as they opened, so it was literally like having the entire gardens to myself before all the tourists started to arrive at around 1 o'clock. So it's pretty good. I had nearly the entire gardens to myself and was able to wander around and take as many photos as I wanted to. But I think the highlight of the trip this week was going into the vegetable garden and literally just seeing how much growth has happened in the past couple of weeks, and the sheer amount of colour that they have in the vegetable garden down there. And I think it was really brought it home to me that vegetable garden, while can be 100% practical, can also look extremely beautiful. the amount of colour they had through their companion planting, which was also had the added benefit of kind of keeping off the pesty green fly and insects that you don't really want eating your precious vegetables, but look quite pretty as they ward off all these insects that you don't want. So definitely gave me the ideas to plant some companion plants down in my own vegetable garden and try and pretty it up a bit. So I think that is my plan for the weekend. I'm going to get out there and try and pretty that end of the garden up a bit and make it look a bit more presentable in case anyone calls over to see the vegetable gardens, or most likely to try and weasel some carrots or some cabbage or peas out of me. So I shall talk to you next time, guys.
Thanks, David. 103.2 Dublin City FM, The Sod Show. If you're going to St. Anne's on this weekend, the 20th and 21st of July, for the Rose Festival, do enjoy yourself. Do be careful. If you're outdoors a lot, you gardeners know that you've got to cover up. So take precautions against that sun. And isn't it just wonderful, the weather we've been having? With thanks to our sponsors, greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out on the internet at greensacks.ie. On behalf of David and Peter, this is Brian signing off, and thank you for listening. One correction before we go. The album that A Fine Frenzy had in 2009 was not Bird in a Bomb Cage, it was Bomb in a Bird Cage. Apologies about that. Take care till next week. Bye bye.
When your mother sends back all your invitations, and your father to your sister, he explains that you're tired of yourself and all of your creations. Won't you come see me, Queen Jane? Won't you come see me, Queen Jane? Won't you come see me, Queen Jane?